Okay, Chevra. Again, thank you for agreeing to convene on Monday night for what is ordinarily our Sunday night Gemara Shir. This week's Shir is actually sponsored by Peter Merker, in memory of his mother Evelyn Merker, Chava Bas Moshe, on her fourth Yahrzeit. You know, last time Peter sponsored a Shir, so the comment was that, you know, Limud HaTorah to some extent replaces the opportunity to say Kaddish. Now already the opportunity to say Kaddish exists in many places, although Peter, you're in Florida now, correct? So Florida is, we have to all daven for the state of Florida. It's not simple. And no matter what, even if one is able to say Kaddish, there is something about Limud HaTorah that really is very special, and the fact that you've been coming to the Shir on a regular basis and sponsoring the Shir now, it's something that I appreciate, and I think we all appreciate. So again, the Shir should be Le'ilui Nishmas, your mother, Kadosh Baruch Hu, should give her Neshama Naliyah, etc. Okay, we are learning Sukkah Daf Tes Amud Aleph. Last time we learned, we began what is actually a really important sugya with a number of important side conversations. The Mishnah tells us that a sukkah yeshana, an old sukkah, so according to Beis Shammai, it's not good, and according to Beis Hillel, it is good. A sukkah yeshana, an old sukkah, Beis Shammai says it's pasul, Beis Hillel says it's okay. And we commented that the reason for this din, the reason why according to Beis Shammai, an old sukkah is no good, is because old sukkah, meaning that you built the sukkah more than 30 days before the yontif, the reason why it's no good is because the sukkah is presumed not to be lishma. There's a halacha by many different mitzvos that it has to be lishma. That if I do a mitzvah in a way that I'm not doing it for the mitzvah, so it does not create a chafta of a mitzvah. Right? Mitzvos have the actions that we do, and then certain mitzvos have an object that's associated with it. So we spoke about how a Sefer Torah has to be written, right, L'shem Kedusha Sefer Torah. So the idea, according to Beis Shammai, is that a sukkah that was made more than 30 days before the yontiv is not kosher, because Beis Shammai assumes that sukkah has to be l'shma. It has to be made for a sukkah. And the Gemara speaks this out. Let's just read some of the Gemara. We'll pause in a few places, make a couple of comments. My time of Beis Shammai. The Gemara asks, what's the reason of Beis Shammai? So Amarkra, Chag Hasukos Shiv'as Yomim LaHashem, Sukkah Ha'asuya L'Shem Chag Be'inon. So the Pasuk says that the Yontav of Sukkos has to be made for Hashem. Make it for God. What that means is, says Beis Shammai, you have to make the sukkah, you have to construct the sukkah, l'shem the yontiv. Right? The sukkah has to be built as a sukkah of the yontiv. That's the way it has to be done according to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says, no, you can't learn from the pasuk l'Hashem, because ha'humi bayale l'chederav sheshes. The Amar Rav Sheshes Mishum Reb Akiva, Minayin la'atzei sukkah she'asurim ko shiva, Talmud lomar, Chag ha'sukos shiv'as yomim la'Hashem. Right? Rav Sheshes says that it is forbidden to get benefit or to get pleasure from the wood of a sukkah for all 7 days. And that is because of the pasuk. It says, la'Hashem. The sukkah has to be made for Hashem. V'tanya Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, K'shem Shecha Shem Shamayim al HaChagiga, Kach Cha Shem Shamayim al HaSukkah. He has a funny expression, that Chag HaSukkos. The word Chag is a technical term. It refers specifically to a carbon Chagiga, right? The carbon Chagiga is the carbon that you have to bring when you are Ole L'Regel. That's a carbon Chagiga. Zok the Gemara, just like Kishem Shechao Shem Shamayim al ha Sukkah, Kachao Shem Shechao Shem Shamayim al ha chagiga kachal shem shamayim al hasuka. In other words, just like a korban chagiga has kedusha, so a sukkah also has kedusha, and therefore you cannot learn from the word lahashem. Again, Beishamai uses lahashem to tell me that you have to make the sukkah lishma. You have to build the sukkah in order to fulfill the mitzvah sukkah. Beis Hillel says, hey dude, you can't do that. Because the pasuk says, lahashem, and what that means is that there is kedusha on the sukkah. Just like there is kedusha on a carbon, so also there is kedusha on the sukkah. That is the position of Beis Hillel, based on Rav Sheshes and the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, etc. What about Beis Shammai? Does Beis Shammai deny the idea that there is kedusha on the sukkah? So the Gemara says no. Beis Shammai nami mi ba'yi le'lohocha. Right? The Gemara asks, shouldn't Beis Shammai also use the pasuk to tell me that the shem Shammai is on the sukkah? So the Gemara answers, en hachanami. You're right. That pasuk of lahashem, you make a sukkah lahashem, that tells me that the shem Shamayim is on the sukkah. Even according to Beis Shammai. En hachanami. What's the source of Beis Shammai? Elamai tamai Beis Shammai. It's a different pasuk. Siv krachrina. Chag asukos tasa l'choshev as yamim. Sukkah asuya l'shem chag bi'inon. Right? In other words, the Gemara at first thinks that the source of Beis Shammai is from the pasuk that says La Hashem. Then the Gemara says, no, that's not really the source. The source is really that the Torah says, Chag asukos ta'aser lecha, that you have to make the yontiv for yourself, meaning you have to make the yontiv l'shem yontiv. Great, right? You have to make the sukkah l'shem yontiv. Okay, grand. So this is a really interesting halacha. Let's just pause over here. And we'll talk about this idea that the Shem Shamayim is on the sukkah. And therefore, the Atzei Sukkah, the wood of the sukkah, is usher all 7 days.
Would you like a tradition soup?
Yosef Dov, ask someone else to help you. Abba's giving
you
a share.
Do you want a tradition soup?
Do I want one?
Yeah.
No, thank you. Right? So now, we're learning from the Pasuk that the Shem Shamayim is on the sukkah, and therefore you can't benefit from the wood of the sukkah. Now, the simple reading of this halacha is that you can't benefit it because a sukkah has the status of a carbon chagiga, of a carbon. The halacha is that if I benefit from a carbon, that is called mi'ila. Once I designate an animal to be a carbon, and then you decide to get a ride on that animal, right? As a kid, my parents had a dog, and the dog and I didn't get along, in part because I used to pull the dog's tail and try to get rides. By the way, word to the wise, if you have a dog, don't do that. If you would have an animal of hektish, and you would get a ride on that animal, that is called mi'ila. So the simple understanding of this halacha is that the Shem Shamayim, just like Hashem's name, ends up descending on a carbon, Hashem also descends on the sukkah, and therefore you cannot get benefit from it. And Rashi seems to say this a little bit, or in broad terms. Rashi over here writes, again, we'll analyze it a bit more, Rashi writes, Al ha-chagiga, Zok Rashi shalmei chagiga, is a korban shlomim, Shem Shamayim chal aleihem la-osron ad la-achar haktaras emurin. Hashem's name is on the korban until after you burn the emurin. The emurin are those limbs that go on the mizbeach. Dezachu b'hu basar, after you sacrifice the emurin, so it's like a eved, it's like a servant who's getting a present from Hashem. Now, what's interesting in Rashi, if you kind of read between the lines, is Rashi is not making the ordinary comparison to a carbon. I don't expect people to really focus on this so much, unless you're a genuine brisker, but the halacha is that a korban maintains its kedusha, and the rule of me'ilah remains on the korban. The prohibition to get benefit from the korban remains only until you sprinkle the blood of the animal. But Rashi's not saying that. Rashi is saying that you can't get benefit from the animal even after you sprinkle the blood, until you do haktaras emurin, until you burn the limbs on the Mizbeach. So you get the impression from Rashi that what Rashi is saying is that this is not the ordinary halacha of the illicit prohibition or the illicit benefit from an animal of hekdesh. The regular halacha of me'ila ends when you sprinkle the blood. Rashi is saying that over here, the prohibition continues until you burn the limbs that go on the Mizbeach, which is after that. Now, I'm sure what you're thinking is, Schwartz, you're kvetching. Like, you're making some point, you're trying to make a big deal out of it. Like, what are you doing? And I'll tell you, you might be right, but I think I'm not kvetching. And let me explain to you what I mean. Look in the Gilyon Hashas over here of Rabbi Akiva Eger. You see on the inside column of the Gemara, the Gilyon Hashas of Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger, on the side of his Gemara, he would jot down notes. Rabbi Akiva Eger writes, is Ayin Lekamon Lamed Zayin Omed Beis, Dibra Hamascho Oser Lahariach. Right? Rashi says, Rabbi Akiva Eger says, look at a Rashi on 37b. The Rashi that speaks about that you're not allowed to smell. Now, what does this mean? So the Gemara in 37b says that there's a distinction between the Esrog and the Hadas. Remember, there are four minim. Four minim, people make a mistake. It means that there are people, the word min could mean apikairis. But the four minim on Sukkos mean that there are four species that we have to shake. Correct? We shake the four species, right? Different directions, etc. We have a good time. It does not mean that you hit your neighbor over the head, right? Because of coronavirus, you're supposed to stay 6 feet away from each other. Your lulav should be shorter than that, etc. Beautiful. There's a particular rabbi in the D.C. area who likes having gigantic lulavs. That's a different story. Now, Rashi writes on Lamed Zayin Amid Beis, or the Gemara writes on Lamed Zayin Amid Beis, that you cannot smell the hadas on your lulav. The hadasim, the myrtle branches over there, the myrtle branches, you're not allowed to smell them. You are allowed to smell the esrog. The Gemara explains that an esrog is primarily intended to be something that you eat. Since the primary purpose of an esrog is eating it, and the smell is ancillary to the main purpose of the esrog, so you're allowed to smell the esrog on Sukkos. However, the hadas, where ordinarily the primary purpose of a hadas is to smell it, so therefore, in this case, you cannot smell the hadas, because it's hukta lemitzvaso. The hadas is designated for the mitzvah. This is no longer a fragrant hadas, which is something that's usually smelled. This is something different. This is something that's a mitzvah. And because it's a mitzvah, you're not allowed to smell it. That's a halacha called hukta lemitzvah. So it's designated for the mitzvah. But the designation for the mitzvah only means that the primary purpose of this thing is now a mitzvah purpose. But when it comes to an esrig, that the primary purpose is to eat it, so the fact that it's designated for a mitzvah just means I can't eat my esrog, right? But I am allowed to smell it because the smelling is auxiliary, ancillary. Right? That's what the Gemara says. Comes along Rashi on Lamed Zayin Amid Beis, the Rashi that Reb Kiva Eger notes. And Rashi says, you know what? How come you're not allowed to smell the Hadas? Zukt Rashi, because the Shem Shamayim is on the Sukkah. Wow. Right? In other words, Rashi is invoking our Gemara that says that the Kedusha on the Sukkah is like a carbon. And Rashi says, no siree. If it would be because the Kedusha is like a carbon, so then that halacha might only apply to a Sukkah. Rather, Rashi is saying, no, 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 no. Really what it means, is that an item that's designated for a mitzvah you can't get benefit from. We make a rough comparison to Chagiga, but the comparison to Chagiga is really because a carbon Chagiga is designated for a mitzvah. And I would contend that's why Rashi says until after you burn the fat. Because even though it's no longer hektish, after you sprinkle the blood, the hektish went away. The Kedusha left. But still, the item is designated for a mitzvah, the mitzvah of burning the fats on the Mizbeach. And any item that's designated for a mitzvah, says Rashi, you can't get benefit from it. So you can't get benefit from a hadas. You can't eat, you can't smell the hadas. You can't eat the esrog. And you can't get benefit from the sukkah. Because it's a principle of hukta lemitzvah so. It's designated for the mitzvah. So according to Rashi, okay, let's just review. According to Rashi, the principle in this Gemara that the Kishem Shachal Shem Shamayim al Hachagiga Kachal al HaSukkah, according to Rashi, all that means is an item that's designated for a mitzvah you can't benefit from. Okay, grand, amazing. Now, there is a mitzvah to eat the Karban Pesach, but again, I'm not talking about a Karban Pesach now, I'm talking about a Karban Chagiga. Again, it's only can... So, Lev, I use the words carefully. I use the word illicit benefit. Right? If God says you should eat it, that is not illicit. That's exactly what God wants me to do. Right? The prohibition is getting illicit, getting illegal, improper benefit. So now, according to Rashi, I'm arguing this has nothing to do with the rules of Me'ila, of Hekdish. This is all about designating something for a mitzvah, and that's the Rashi that Reb Kiva Eger references on Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis. So far, so good. Now, the opponent of Rashi usually is Tosfos. Excellent, right? Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. And Tosfos asks a question. Tosfos asks, Minayin la'atzei sukkah shasurim koshiva. Tosfos asks, Mashma, our Gemara implies that there's an Isra d'oraisa, and the source is a real drasha. It's really learned out from the pasuk. But Tosfos asks, V'tema, I got a problem. Diberek Kira, the Gemara in the third parak of Shabbos, it says that's midrabanan, and the Isra d'rabanan is called hukta lemitzvaso. So Tosfos is bothered by your question. What is it, dude? Is it d'oraisa or is it d'rabanan? Right? Is it a halacha of hektish or is it a halacha of mukta? That's Tosfos's question. According to Rashi, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, according to Rashi, there is no question. Because according to Rashi, both of these halachos are fundamentally the same. They are both halachos of mukta. There might be mukta min hatorah on the sukkah, or mukta min hatorah on the carbon. And there's mukta midrabanan, perhaps, that esrog a hadas is the same idea, but it's the rabbinic equivalent. Maybe for some reason one is deraisa, one is derabbanon, but it's fundamentally the same thing. So Rashi would not be bothered by such a kasha. What do you mean? How can you tell me it's a halacha and hekdesh? It's a halacha and mukta. That's why this is kasha. According to Rashi, there ain't no question. So I would argue that Tosfos is saying that this is a halacha in hekdesh. And I have a little bit of a proof. You see, if you go through this Tosfos, Tosfos over here, the Tosfos Minayin, and Tosfos is bothered by the question, is it a halacha in mukta, or is it a halacha in a din d'oraisa based on hekdesh? So Tosfos answers, v'yesh lomar. The word v'yesh lomar is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines before the lines get wide. V'yesh lomar is the last word on the line. V'yesh lomar, Tosfos answers. Dahada aser men hatorah hainu ba'oda kayemes aser litom men eitzim avo mishen nafla de butla mitzvasa lo asira ella midrabonan. Tosfos answers that the iser de oraisa, the Torah prohibition of benefiting from the sukkah, is only while the sukkah is up, is standing. But once that sukkah fell down, says Tosfos, so the Torah prohibition goes away, and the only prohibition that remains is a rabbinic prohibition. That is what Tosfos is saying. Now, Tosfos continues, and Tosfos says that an ordinary prohibition of huktza l'mitzvaso, when an item is designated for a mitzvah, so there's a rabbinic prohibition to get benefit from it. But Tosfos says, I have a way of stipulating my way out of that rabbinic prohibition. Right? Again, according to Tosfos, the Torah prohibition is when the sukkah is standing. Once it falls down, there's a rabbinic prohibition. And then Tosfos says that the Gemara in Beitza, v'hadapark be'Beitza, v'chi mahani be'Tzna'a, ha'ini mishun dekev d'lo mahani be'Tzna'a, ba'odi kayemes, kishenofla, nami lo yod, igol miksoi, bein hashmasha, siskatsoi, l'shiva. And the Gemara answers, seif asoi, l'suka da'alma. In other words, basically what Tosfos is saying is like this. If something is a rabbinic prohibition, if something is just designated to be a mitzvah, so I have a way of stipulating my way out of the mitzvah, or out of the prohibition. What I could say is, I no longer am declaring that this item is a muktzah item. Initially, I could say, I'm designating the item only until this happens. I could do that. I can't do that by the real sukkah, by the actual sukkah itself. But I can do it, v'hadar parach, the first medium-wide line. The Gemara has some noy sukkah, that conditions help. And we say, yeah, the condition is when they say, eini bodo mehem ko bein hashmashos, d'lo huktzo l'mitzvaso, v'lo domu le'etzim shem ikar ha-mitzvah. In other words, Tosfos is saying like this. The sukkah itself, I cannot stipulate my way out of it. I have no ability to say, you know what, this item is only designated as a mitzvah, it only has kedusha until this point. From this point on, it doesn't. That doesn't help. But that does not help by the full-fledged mitzvah. When they have noy sukkah like sukkah decorations. So those items are also designated for a mitzvah. But those items, when they are designated for a mitzvah, you can stipulate your way out of it, because it is not the actual mitzvah. It is somewhat removed from the actual mitzvah. So let's go slowly. According to Tosfos, the actual sukkah itself, there ain't no stipulation. It falls down, it still remains usher. A sukkah is a sukkah is a sukkah. You can't get benefit from it, even after it falls down. By the way, getting benefit would mean, the Taz says, like taking the wood of the sukkah, making it into a toothpick, and cleaning your teeth. Or if you're really a good, what's it called, a whittler, you could make a corkscrew out of the wood of the sukkah. If you know, you can't do that. The wood of a sukkah, you can't, even if I make a condition, even if I say, you know what, I'm not fully handing this over, it don't matter. It doesn't matter. Conditions don't help on the actual sukkah. But a condition does help on a sukkah decoration. The sukkah decoration, I could say, you know what, I'm retaining ownership of it. Eini bodo mehen kol bein hashmashos. Right? When Yontif enters, I am not giving up my ownership on this thing. And therefore, I can stipulate that I will get benefit from the Noi Sukkah. Now let's take a pause for a second. According to Tosis, I cannot stipulate out of the Sukkah itself. I can stipulate out of the Noi Sukkah. You know what the difference is? The Sukkah itself has real Kedusha. For Tosis, the Sukkah itself is like a carbon. But the Noi Sukkah is just a mitzvah. If it's just a mitzvah, you can stipulate your way out of it. If it's like a carbon, so I can't stipulate my way out of it, because once I designate an animal as a carbon, so the animal belongs to Hashem. It doesn't belong to me anymore. I have no right to stipulate on something that doesn't belong to me. Now again, basically what I'm trying to do is as follows. People were silently asking a question, Schwartz, you're kvetching, right? When I said that, oh, according to Rashi, it's a halacha in Haktaras Emurin, it's not a halacha in Zrikas Hadam. Why am I saying that? So I'll tell you why I'm saying that. Because according to Rashi, this halacha that the Shem Shamayim is on the sukkah is a regular halacha, then item that's designated for a mitzvah you can't get benefit from. But according to Tosfos, there are two separate rules. There's the rule of the Shem Shamayim that's on the sukkah. That rule is Torah law. That rule, because it's Torah law, it's like hektish, you can't stipulate out of it, it's usher. The other rule of something that's designated for a mitzvah, that's something that you can stipulate your way out of, according to Tosfos. Now, just to review again for a minute and a half, Tosis asks a question. Our Gemara sounds like there's a Torah prohibition, you can't get benefit from the sukkah. The Gemara in Shabbos says it's only muktzah. So Tosis quotes the Ri's answer that there's a difference between while the sukkah is up and when the sukkah fell. When the sukkah fell, it's muktzah. It's still the type of muktzah I can't stipulate my way out of because it was hektish beforehand. But the type of muktzah which was never hektish, like the Noi Sukkah, I can stipulate out of. That's the Ri's answer. And then Tosis at the end, at the bottom, quotes the Rabbeinu Tam's answer. No? V'tiritz Rabbeinu Tam. The bottom skinny line, right? Rabbeinu Tam Mefarish, excuse me, the Eitzim Shal Kedei Hechsher Sukkah, Chayla Kedusha Alayhu V'Asher Men HaTorah, Avol HaYosem Kedei Hechsher Sukkah, Lo Mitzri Ela Midrabanan. Tosis answers, the Rabbeinu Tam answers, that there is the bare minimum size of the sukkah, and then there's the extra stuff in the sukkah. When we say that the sukkah, you can't get benefit from Min HaTorah, that is the essential sukkah. It sounds like somebody would write a book, no? The essential sukkah. So the essential sukkah you can't get benefit from, Min HaTorah. The extra stuff in the sukkah that you can get benefit from, Min HaTorah, but rabbinically you can't. That's Rabbeinu Tam's answer. So again, the Ri's answer is it depends whether the sukkah is up or whether the sukkah fell. But Rabbeinu Tam says, no, that's not the answer. The answer is it depends whether you are talking about the essential sukkah or the non-essential sukkah. Great. Ladies and gentlemen, what do I mean when I speak about essential sukkah? Any suggestions? We've been speaking about these types of ideas for a while. What's the smallest possible sukkah? So the smallest possible sukkah, how many walls do you need? Two walls, right? Two walls and a little bit. No? Two complete walls, that's my right hand, and the little bit is my left hand. Shtayim kol chasen shoshesh afil tefach. That's the bare minimum sukkah. Rabbeinu Tam is saying that the only part of the sukkah that you can't get benefit from is the bare minimum sukkah. Those two walls with the tiny extra bit. But everything else in the sukkah, you can get benefit from, no? That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. Now, why is this important? Again, so it could be it's important because I'm interested in it. That's always a possibility. But it might be important. Again, someone was saying something? Okay, I mean, so you're thinking about the dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, but at this point in the Gemara, we're saying that both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that you can't get benefit from the sukkah. Right? So everyone agrees to that. The only thing is, here it goes. According to Rabbeinu Tam, this is the essential sukkah. I can't get benefit from this. Everything else, I am allowed to get benefit from. Nachon? That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. That means that according to Rabbeinu Tam, when I speak about the sukkah, an essential sukkah, not essential sukkah, what I'm really talking about are the sukkah walls. When I speak about that the Shem Shamayim, God's presence, descends on the sukkah, for Rabbeinu Tam, it descends on the sukkah walls as well. This is also the opinion of the Rambam. If you look over here in the Rush quotes that Maimonides says that you cannot get benefit from the walls of the sukkah. However, the Rush himself says no. You are allowed to get benefit from the walls. You just can't get benefit from the schach of the sukkah. Remember, the Gemara learns Chag HaSukkos Ta'aseh L'cha, right? The Gemara learns from that you should make a yontiv of Sukkos for yourself, and that means that you should not get benefit, right? Or excuse me, Chag HaSukkos LaHashem, that just like a Chagigas LaHashem, a Sukkah is LaHashem also. Now Chag HaSukkos Ta'aseh, the halacha of the sukkah, right, includes the halacha of ta'aseh v'lo min ha'osui. It includes many of the halachos of a sukkah. But all those halachos of the sukkah are halachos on the schach of the sukkah. Rabbeinu Tam tells me that, oh boy, I lost my share. Let's try this again. Rabbeinu Tam tells me, Rabbeinu Tam tells me that what? That you are, Rabbeinu Tam tells me, can you see the Gemara now? Okay, so Rabbeinu Tam is basically telling me that the halacha, that you can't get benefit from the sukkah, applies not only to the schach of the sukkah, which ordinarily is like the main part of the sukkah, but applies even to the walls of the sukkah. And everyone in their aunt jumps up and down, and they spit with a nickels, and they say, how could it apply to the walls of the sukkah? It's a good question, because presumably there are no real halachos on the walls. There's only halachos on the schach. How could the Rambam and the Rabbeinu Tam say that you can't get benefit from the walls of the sukkah? So I saw Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has an interesting idea. Reb Shlomo Zalman says, this is like the type of idea that I could imagine if I was teaching sukkah in a lower high school grade, somebody would say this, and like the Rebbe would say, oh, come on, that makes no sense. But when you think about it, it actually does make a lot of sense. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, you can't have schach without walls. No? If there are no walls, so you have hovering bamboo. That's not schach. You can't have schach without walls. So when I want to say that Hashem's presence is on the sukkah, that means it's on the schach of the sukkah, of course, but the walls integrate to the schach insofar as the walls are necessary to hold the schach in place. That's the way Reb Shlomo Zalman explains this this Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, so let's just review what we have. What we have is an interesting halacha that you cannot get benefit from the sukkah. The Gemara sounds like it's a halacha in Me'ila, in Hekdesh, and in fact that might be how Tosas learns, but Rashi learns that this is a regular halacha that you can't get benefit from. Rashi is that you can't get benefit from an item that's designated for a mitzvah. Now, when I talk about benefit, there is an interesting taz. The taz says that not getting benefit means you can't break off a bit of the sukkah and use it as a toothpick, or we said use it to wheedle a corkscrew out of. Right? That was our example. In other words, you can't break an item off. That's the taz. There is a famous tshuva of the Oneg Yom Tov. Okay, the Oneg Yom Tov is the Rav of Bialystok, no? You know Bialystok? It's like on the Lower East Side. The Oneg Yom Tov was the Rav in Bialystok. And in the tshuva's Oneg Yom Tov, he has a chiddush. He says, no one before me ever said this chiddush, but he thinks it's correct. The Oneg Yom Tov, you know, sometimes you have people, Chassidish Rebbes in particular, who are in such a high madrega, where they had so much hookah in the sukkah, whatever it is, that even though it's raining, they don't notice, and they stay in the sukkah, and it's raining on them, and they're seeing the Kedusha, their eyeballs are going klape shmaya. You know these people, they're mamish, having a great time. Says the Oneg Yom Tov, it's absolutely forbidden to sit in the sukkah when it's raining. Because if it's raining, you don't have a mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah. If you don't have a mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah, and you sit in the sukkah, says the Oneg Yom Tov, you are in violation of a prohibition of enjoying the sukkah. Because you're sitting in a place, you're somewhat enjoying it, right? Hookah and the sukkah, whatever, it's gewaldic. That means you are getting illicit benefit from the sukkah. That's what the Oneg Yom Tov says. Now this Oneg Yom Tov is obviously not correct according to the Taz. Because according to the Taz, when I talk about benefit, it doesn't mean enjoyment. Benefit means breaking off some of it and using it. That's benefit. But just enjoying it is not benefit. But think about the Oneg Yom Tov. Is he became one of the least politically correct Oneg Yom Tovs in all of Judaism. Okay? I'm sure Caroline is going to take great offense when I explain the Oneg Yom Tov's punchline. Ready? Says the Oneg Yom Tov, it's forbidden for women to sit in the sukkah. You're taking offense already, right? Why? Because men have a mitzvah of sukkah. Women don't have a mitzvah. You're not allowed to get benefit from the sukkah unless you do a mitzvah. If you're a woman, you send the sukkah, you don't really get a mitzvah. Right? Mitzvah means that you're obligated. Right? That's the word mitzvah. And therefore, says the Oneg Yom Tov, if a woman sits in the sukkah, she is in violation of getting pleasure from the sukkah, forbidden, against Judaism. Now, why is the Oneg Yom Tov absolutely wrong? So first of all, it's wrong because it fails the smell test, no? When you have an idea like this that's like so preposterous, it's like, of course it's wrong. Like, what are you talking about, no? But nosaf al kach, I'll tell you why it's wrong. It's wrong because the Taz. It's wrong because the Taz says it's only called benefit if you use it, if you break off a branch. And it's also wrong because the Oneg Yom Tov is assuming that when a woman sits in the sukkah, the woman does not get a mitzvah. Hello? Ashkenazi women out there, how many of you make a bracha when you shake a lulav? Yes, Kayla, thank you. You make a bracha when you shake a lulav. How many Ashkenazi women make a bracha on tekiah shofar? Right, this is standard practice. This is normal Ashkenazi Judaism. Right, women have mitzvos. They might not make a bracha vitzivanu, according to Sfaradim. According to Ashkenazim, they do. According to Sfaradim, a woman does a mitzvah like shofar and lulav doesn't make a bracha. But of course she gets a kiyum ha-mitzvah. Of course you get the mitzvah. It's preposterous to say that there's no mitzvah. It's absolutely ludicrous. It's in Gantz and Meshuga. How many languages do I have to say this in to draw the point home? Right? Okay. Is this Sarah Schatz speaking? Yeah. No, it's okay. Yeah, like... Right, you... So that's really interesting. I'm happy to present it as an opinion that's out there. But there's out there and there is, right, deep in the far beyond or whatever, right? Right, like Star Wars out there, right? This is just, but this Oneg Yontif is really fascinating. It's based on the idea that you cannot get benefit from a sukkah. And the Oneg Yontif's definition of benefit means anytime you're in a sukkah and you're not getting a mitzvah, that's benefit. Therefore, sitting in the sukkah in the rain, forbidden. Right? Sitting in the sukkah, if you have a 2X chromosomes, forbidden. Right? That's what it says. It's kind of... It's out there. Right? It's out there. Really, really deep out there. Okay. Oh. So that's what we wanted to speak about in terms of Chal Shem Shamayim al HaSukkah, with which both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree about. Again, so the Gemara begins by saying that what's the reason for Beis Shammai? So we say it's a pasuk of make a sukkah la Hashem. The Gemara says, no, the pasuk make a sukkah la Hashem means that the Shem Shamayim is Chal on HaSukkah. That the sukkah is kedusha, you can't get benefit from it, which the Taz explains means don't break your sukkah, don't break off pieces of your sukkah, grand. So how does Beis Shammai know that the sukkah has to be built for the yontif? So the answer is it has to be chag ha-sukkos ta'asel lecha. You see where it says in the margin, Devarim Tes Zayin, chag ha-sukkos ta'asel lecha shiv as yamim, make the sukkah for yourself. Sukkah that is made l'shem chag, that's what you need, sukkah zu l'shem chag be'inon, etc. Okay, so Beis Shammai says, ta'aseh l'cha shivas yamim, make your sukkah, you have to make it l'shem chag. Right? You have to make it for shivas yamim, for the whole yontiv. Beis Hillel says, no, ha'hu mibayle la'osin sukkah b'chol shom moed. That pasuk that says, chag ha'sukkos ta'aseh l'cha, Shiv As Yamim means for 7 days you can build a sukkah. Meaning, even on Chol HaMoed you can build a sukkah. But Beis Shammai Sviru Kreb Lezer, Da'amar Ein Osen Sukkah, B'Chol HaShemoed. Beis Shammai holds that you can't build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed. Now, there are prohibitions of doing melacha on Chol HaMoed. You know, in Chol HaMoed, Taisus in Chagiga Daf Yud Ches discusses that the prohibition of doing work on Chol HaMoed, is it Torah law, is it rabbinic law? That's a big discussion. Generally speaking, as a matter of halacha, we assume that you're allowed to do malacha on Chol HaMoed if it is l'shem chag, if you're doing it for the yontiv or for the Chol HaMoed, and if it is Maisa Hedyot, if it is something that does not require professional craftsmanship. If it is Maisa Uman, if it's a professional activity, something that the average Jane or Joe can't do, so then you're not allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed, even if you're doing it Mitzorech HaChag, even if you're doing it for the Yontif. Now, Ordinarily, you could build a sukkah that's Maisa Hedyot without any difficulty, no? Most people who build a sukkah are not carpenters. Hey, especially you go to the Sfarim store or the sukkah depot, you buy a prefab. You don't gotta know what the heck you're doing. The prefab, you know, you pick it up, you bend this, it's all, the instructions are written in English. Unlike when you buy, you know, a clock radio and the instructions are in some other language, over here the instructions are mamish in English, right? It's not that hard to, it's not that hard to be able to figure it out. You could build a sukkah ma'isa hedyot. Nonetheless, Rabbi Eliezer says you're not allowed to build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed. Because Rabbi Eliezer holds that the sukkah has to be for the entire Yontif. If I have a sukkah that is not for all 7 days of the Chag, it's not a good sukkah. And Beis Shammai, who says that there's an obligation to build a sukkah for the Yontif, Beis Shammai says the Yontif means the entire Ke'in Kaburol, Miyom HaRishon Ad Yom HaShvi'i. The entire thing is the Yontif. So Beis Shammai says you can't build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed. This has nothing to do with the halachos of Melacha on Chol HaMoed. Totally irrelevant. What this has to do with is the dinim of that according to Rabbi Eliezer, a sukkah has to be a sukkah for all 14 meals. Now some of the Achronim point out, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a discussion. Now again, we don't follow Rabbi Eliezer lahalacha. We don't follow Beis Shammai lahalacha. This is all, as Sarah said before, her expression was, it's out there, right? It's like, it's not normative Judaism. But in this position of Rabbi Eliezer Beis Shammai, what should emerge is that you are not allowed to eat a meal out on Sukkot, according to Rabbi Eliezer. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the sukkah has to be a sukkah for all 14 meals of Yontif. You can't build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed. I can't build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed because I can't build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed because it's not for all 14 meals. I have to build my sukkah before Yontif. It has to be all 14 meals, and that means I can't eat in your sukkah. The sukkah has to be a sukkah for all 14 meals. And that's wild. It's just like totally wild, but okay, that's what he says. Right, Beis Shammai holds like Rabbi Eliezer that you can't make a sukkah on Chol HaMoed. Ubeis Hillel, right? Ah, comma. You see, now up to the words Ubeis Hillel, 1, 2, 3, 4. 11 lines on the bottom. Beis Hillel is like the third word on the line. Right where it says, L'kamon Chav Zayin Om Ebeis, the Gemara says Ubeis Hillel. Right, again, so let's just review. Beis Shammai says a sukkah has to be lishma. You have to build the sukkah for the yontiv, and what we're saying is that means that you have to build the sukkah for the entire, complete yontiv. It can't be for anything besides the complete yontiv. That is Beis Shammai's position. Has to be lishma. Has to be for the whole yontiv. Beis Hillel says no. A sukkah does not have to be lishma at all. They both agree that you can't get benefit from the sukkah. Grand. Then the Gemara has a question. We said, what, 12 lines to the bottom? Frek the Gemara, Ubeis Hillel, Les lehud Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Dam Rav Yehuda Marav, Asa'a min ha-kotzin, min ha-nimin, min ha-gradin, psula, min ha-sisin, kishera. Okay. We are now moving from the halachos of sukkah to the halachos of tzitzis. Asa'a min ha-kotzin. A kotz literally is a thorn, but min ha-kotzin means the bottom part of the garment that looks like it got tangled on a thorn. If I make my tzitzis from those tiny threads at the bottom of the garment that looks like it was ripped by a thorn, it's the garment itself, but it's just like the, there has to be a term for this, like the junk at the bottom, or min ha-nimin. Nimin are the strings at the bottom. Min ha-gradin. Gradin are also, it's like the extra stuff at the bottom of a garment. That's puzzle. That's not good tzitzis. If I have my tzitzis, it has to be that you put the strings into the garment L'shem mitzvah. Right? That's what Rashi writes over here. Rashi writes that you have to put it in l'shem mitzvah. Right? The Rashi Pesula. Rashi says, Hoel utluyin va'omdim kol ela bebeged. Since these things are all hanging on the garment, and they are not hung l'shem mitzvah, lav asiyah l'shmahi. So, according to Rashi, what the Gemara says is, if I make my tzitzis from these strings at the bottom of the garment, it's no good because it's not l'shma. Min hasisin, let's say I make the strings from sisin. Sisin, I make the tzitzis strings from sisin. Sisin is an ordinary ball of thread. So then it's kosher. Because I take the ordinary thread and I make it into tzitzis. I put it into the garment. I hang it on the garment for the mitzvah tzitzis. It's done l'shma. So, from the ball of thread, it's kosher. Ki amrisa kame de Shmuel, amar li af min hasisin nami psula de be'inon tevia l'shma. Shmuel says that even if you make it from the sisin, it is pasul. Even if you take an ordinary ball of thread and you make it into tzitzis, it's no good. Because you need tevia l'shma. Tevia means taking the thread and making it into string. No? There has to be some better English word for that. But basically, you take individual threads, you twirl them, and you make threads into string. When you twirl those threads, what's it called? Spinning! Oh, thank you. Right? You have to spin the thread l'shma also, according to Shmuel. So the Gemara has a question. Everyone holds that you have to insert the thread into the garment l'shma. There's a dispute about whether the thread or the string also has to be spun l'shma. Everyone holds inserting it into the garment, but usually the tzitzis have like a hole in it, and you stick the string in. Everyone holds that when you stick the string in, it has to be for the mitzvah. Right? And you do it. You say l'shem mitzvah tzitzis when you stick it in, no? There's a dispute whether you have to spin the thread l'shma also. So the Gemara has a question. The Gemara asks, my dear Beis Hillel, I love you. You're a nice guy and all that. But dude, how are you telling me that sukkah doesn't have to be l'shma? Tzitzis has to be l'shma, right? So why does sukkah not have to be l'shma? Just like the tzitzis has to be for the mitzvah of tzitzis, so also hachanami nibaya sukkah asuya l'shma. How come tzitzis doesn't have to be l'shma, right? And the sukkah, how come tzitzis has to be l'shma and the sukkah doesn't? So the Gemara says, no, shiny hasam de amakra gedilim tasa l'cha, l'cha l'shem chovcha. That case is different because the Torah says, make gedilim tasa l'cha. Make the tzitzis for you. When I say make it for you, it means make it for you to do the mitzvah. So there's a special pasuk by tzitzis, says Beis Hillel. And because there's a special pasuk by tzitzis, tzitzis has to be l'shma. However, sukkah, there's no special pasuk. So sukkah does not have to be l'shma. So you might ask, hey, what's going on here? Too much hookah in the sukkah. Right? The Gemara asks, right? Bahochanami, chaga sukkos, tase l'cha. L'cha l'shem chovcha. If you are saying that word l'cha means you have to make it l'shma, you have to do it for the mitzvah. So it says that by tzitzis, true, but it says the same exact thing by the sukkah. L'cha means for the mitzvah. So how come Beis Hillel says the sukkah doesn't have to be l'shma? So the Gemara answers, Hahumi bayalei l'me'ute gezula. When the Torah says that word l'cha, chag ha'sukos tasel l'cha, that means don't make a stolen sukkah. L'cha has to be yours. It can't be stolen. It doesn't teach you l'shma. It teaches you not be stolen. So Gemara says, but one second, Hasam namim bayalei l'me'ute gezula. Let's say by tzitzis also, the tzitzis can't be stolen, but it doesn't have to be l'shma. So I think my answer is no. Hasam ksiv kra achrina, vasu lahem mishalahem. Right? The fact that tzitzis can't be stolen is a different pasuk. It says, "Vasu lahem tzitzis." Lahem means it has to be yours. You can't be stolen. So let's just review what we're up to. Okay, God willing, next week we could have a really important conversation about this Taisvis on this Gemara, but I don't think I'll have time to get into it now. But just to review what we did. Beis Shammai says a sukkah has to be lishma. Beis Hillel says no, it doesn't. At first, the Gemara thinks that Beis Shammai says it has to be lishma because the pasuk says la Hashem. But Beis Hillel says no. That word la Hashem, that tells me that chal shem shamayim ala sukkah. And we explained that could either mean it's a halacha in hekdesh or it's a halacha in mitzvah. Grand. Then the Gemara says, okay, so what's the source of Beis Shammai if it's not from La Hashem? So it's from Lecha. Chag HaSukkos Tasa Lecha. Make the sukkah for you. Lecha means make the sukkah for the mitzvah. Beis Hillel ultimately says, no. That word Lecha doesn't tell me make the sukkah for the mitzvah. That word Lecha ultimately, according to Beis Hillel, tells me don't have a stolen sukkah. The sukkah has to be yours. You can't have a stolen sukkah. That's ultimately what the Gemara says. Next week, God willing, we'll talk about the idea of a stolen sukkah. But just to conclude where we began, so I want to thank Peter for sponsoring the shiur tonight, Le'ilei Nishmas, his mother, Le'ilei Nishmas Evelyn Merker, Chava Bas Moshe. It's her fourth yahrzeit, and the neshama should have an aliyah. And all of our Lima Torah should be a zuchus for her. So I want to thank all of you for coming and learning, and we should continue doing what God wants of us. Okay, Chevra, have a good night.